it's a key part of the future of the Navy. It's an area of huge technical growth. It's a story which restarts in some ways with the launch by Her Majesty on the 4th of July this year of the new HMS Queen Elizabeth. And it's 100 years since the Great War, the First World War, when aviation really began to play a part in warfare. So for a number of reasons, this is a sort of turnkey moment where we move from the extrapolation of the old technology to the new.
As you say, 100 years since the First World War. Military matters perhaps more to the fore this year.
We're in Afghanistan now. We leave at the end of this year. But meanwhile, the Royal Navy continues to plough the oceans of the world to do its good works. And the deterrent, the nuclear submarine deterrent, continues to operate at sea in support of the UK's strategic needs. We have new carriers on the way. We have the Type 45s, the new air defence destroyer, in service. The Astute-class submarine is about to enter operational service. We await the arrival of the Type 26, the new frigate replacing the 23s. Every aircraft in the fleet aerom is being replaced. We have new protective mobility for the Marines, and we've got new oil tankers coming to support our shipping. That is a renaissance in maritime capability and a really exciting future.
Lots of change happening. How do you see the Navy in the next 5-10 years?
Largely absorbing this change. It's a huge leadership and management effort to prepare the Navy for itself, but also not to look back and just use the lessons, the technical lessons of the past, but to be innovative for the future. I'm very keen that we use the opportunities we've been given to think afresh and hard about what the future offers, so we're ready for whatever the government needs us to do.
Technology is changing rapidly every 6 months or so. How do you see the Navy rising to this challenge?
Well, technology is accelerating, and there's no doubt that if we continue to do business the way we do, which is to use like-for-like replacements, then we'll pay a price for the cost of doing so. We have to be more imaginative about how we use technology. We have to simplify business where we can. We have to reduce the reliability on people who are a very expensive part of our business in order to make the whole of the defence machinery affordable for the future. So this is as much about efficiency as it is about technology, but technology helps us chase efficiency.
You were a student here at the University of Southampton a few years back. What did you study? What are your memories?
I was an aeronautical and astronautical engineering student between 1977 and 1980. They were very good years. We had a lot of fun. We worked hard. But I remember mostly it was a sense of community. I made some really good friends here, friends for life. And I think that the important thing is to remember that education is as much about having fun as it is about working hard.
You studied aviation, but here you are on the sea.
Yes, but I'm a Navy pilot. So the connection is there. And I've used a lot of my engineering and technical background as I've gone through the Navy, and I've enjoyed doing that. I think it just gives you an extra ability to see things in a slightly different way when you're presented with problems if you've got an engineering background.
Did you always want to join the Navy, or were there other career options when you were a student?
Actually, I was working for a very large engineering company and was apprenticed to them. So I had to rather politely take my leave of them to join the Royal Navy, and they had invested quite a lot of money in me by that point, so it wasn't an entirely tidy departure. But that said, you know, you make your way in life, and I chose flying in the Navy, and I've really enjoyed it.
Any other memories of your time at university? The fun things alongside the studying?
There's a lot of things I'm not going to tell you about, inevitably. I played a lot of hockey, a lot of sport. I was in the Subaqua Club here, training, teaching, and enjoying the sport. It was just a great sense of fun and community, and I think it'd be fair to say all I can remember is the laughing.
And a degree relevant to your later career?
As it turns out, yes. But I got a 2-2, which shows that I probably optimised my time perfectly.
And would you recommend young people these days thinking of a naval career to get a degree first or join first?
I think a degree is important because it's part of the academic and personal development that is necessary in life. When you choose to do it, of course, is another matter. I think there are arguments that say sometimes a degree later is more powerful. But for most people, I really recognize the desire to get away from school or college and go off to university. And, you know, that's what fun's about.
But the Royal Navy, as good a career now as it was then for you?
I think better now, because I've given a long list of astonishing billions of pounds worth of equipment that's being invested in the Navy. That's a strategic journey for the Navy. That's decades of work. So we have a very, very long horizon to consider all of this. And if you're on that journey with the Navy, if you want to be part of those frigates, those aircraft, those submarines, then you're absolutely at the leading edge of the game, and it's really good fun.